Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Daniel Baker. Joining us today, we have Frances Park, or Fran to her friends. Fran is the training and development specialist at Citizen State Bank. She has been employed by Citizen State Bank for 29 years. While at CSB, she has worked in new accounts as a teller, bookkeeping, customer service, and created the e-services department. Fran is also a member of the Texas Bankers Association Foundation Board and teaches financial literacy at her local schools. Fran, welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, Fran, we're really excited to have someone with your experience on the episode because we don't usually get someone that's been at the same bank for such an extended period of time. So I'm really excited to have this conversation with you today. But before we get started on that, I wanted to ask you, how did you get started in the banking industry?
Well, it's not you grow up one day and say, I want to be a banker, because I didn't. Let's just say there's some past history. My current husband, excuse me, his father used to work at this bank. That was way before I met my husband. Mm-hmm. His father was a loan officer here. He worked his way up from the bottom to the top and made it all the way to board of directors. He was a mayor of this town. So my connection is my husband knew the family very well who run the bank. And we're bank family. Let's just mm-hmm. put that out there. We're a community bank. And we just happened to be in an environment where I was looking for a new career. And my husband said, hey, let's go talk to Ben. And we were in a recreational environment. And he said, well, why don't you just tell her, come put in an application? We have two openings. And one of those openings was for new accounts, and the other one was to be a teller. And I was deathly afraid of having a drawer full of money. So let's just say I picked the new accounts. And I enjoyed doing that for the years that I did. But that's how I got started in banking. I had a stereotype that I always thought people who worked in banking retired from banking. And some of us have. There's quite mm-hmm. a few people in my bank family that have stayed here many, many, many years. So that's what I'm looking forward to doing too. This is my last career choice.
Oh, well, very good. So I have to ask then, you say that Citizen State Bank is a community bank. How big is it?
Well, in the year of 2023, we've been embarking on becoming a $1 billion bank. That's with a B.
That's exciting.
We're fixing to be celebrating our 100-year anniversary in the year 2025. Wow. So that'll tell you now how old yeah. we are. And community banking, I don't know what it's like to work in a large bank such as the people we know about. I enjoy what a community bank does. And that really means we're in our community, focusing on our people who live around here and helping to develop our environment.
So how many branches are you in? Like, is it just one branch?
We're seven total locations. Somerville is the home branch. Then we have six other locations, thoroughly central in Washington County, Grimes County, and Burleson County.
Okay, very good. So then you started with Citizens 29 years ago. How have you seen the bank evolve just since you've been there?
Oh my. When I first started, let's just say Somerville population is we're very small. We're less than 2,000 people. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about opening up a new account, it's mainly your people who live here in this environment. But because for a plug for Somerville community, we are home of Lake Somerville. So we have a lot of people who come from larger cities, Houston mainly, Dallas, Austin area. Mm-hmm. They come here to retire. So opening up new accounts 29 years ago was just a few personal, lots of personal, but very few business accounts.
Right.
Now, since I've gone out of opening up new accounts, we're opening up corporations and LLCs. I mean, it has definitely society and the free enterprise we're in definitely has grown tremendously.
So that's an interesting shift then. I guess I never really expected there to be like a big difference between personal to business. That's definitely interesting. My wife and I actually we're expecting our fifth boy right now. Yes, all boys.
How exciting. Congratulations.
Who are experienced, like dial-up internet or CD-ROMs or Thanks. So we're accepting our fifth boy right now. We were kind of joking around about how there are certain things that they'll never, like, all these different things that have really occurred. So I understand that you actually were part of the transition of your bank from, or sorry, the creation of the e-services department inside of your bank. Is that correct?
That is correct. We started in 1999 when our bank president at that time, Mr. Ben Flincher, said that we were going to turn CSB, we're going to get us into the new age. Mm-hmm. And we all know, if you're old enough, 1999 into Y2K, you had to cross a lot of people's security barriers thinking the world's going to fall apart at the year 2000. But yes, we started the online banking service. We started very small. We even were with the rest of the industry. We were charging a very small fee, and we found out real quickly people do not want to pay a fee for this type of service. So once you can convince your local community to become online banking literate or just feel comfortable banking on a computer, and that's still a long, hard road, even after all these years, You still have people who are just not comfortable. They don't trust, or they're afraid of a virus or whatever. They don't do their banking just, 100% online. But mobile apps have come about, and I think that's made it a whole lot easier than just trusting a computer, because we can say, well, our phone is always on us. If you protect it and screen lock it, or various things to keep it the device protected, you run less risk than, say, somebody who's sitting on their computer. People are hesitant about clicking on things because they don't know if things contain viruses. So, yes, we have seen, oh my goodness, a humongous burst into, from a very few people online banking, now into a mobile app. And we had a bill pay service back then, and it was very hard to get people to trust. I can pay my bills on the computer?
So then, initially, you were responsible for building and developing the internet platform. And then later on, it morphed into the mobile app and everything. What would you say your responsibility has been just in the past year? So before transitioning to your current role, like your last year in that position, what were you doing?
Well, we were beginning to bring in current products that other banks are already using. And for example, that would be something like Apple Pay, Zelle, switching over, I'm not part of that group, but switching over our debit cards into the Tap and Pay. So I had very little input into that. But before transitioning to the role that I'm in now, is bringing all of those modern current products to our customer base. And even then, even in just a testing phase, you don't have a lot of people who are trusting Zelle just yet. But
okay. So you actually see, on the community level, you actually see a decent amount of hesitation for the adaptation of new products and services. Is that so? What you say? So how do you overcome that hesitation then? Is it literally just a matter of time? Like, you just wait till it becomes mainstream enough? Or do you delve more into it to really adapt things or to make the public comfortable with it?
Education is our number one goal. Is you have to put the information out there, and you have to, in that information sharing, you have to tell what the risks are. Mm-hmm. Everything is a risk. You can break your leg stepping out of your car and tripping over the curb. Sure. So, putting your debit card information out there, or using something like Zelle, there's all risks involved. Just, an ACH to get your payroll put into your checking account, you always have risks involved. Yeah. So once you educate your customer base and let them know, we're here to help, they'll also have to give us the feedback in case they see something that's out of the ordinary. Because we always tell our customers, we at our bank, we're not going to call you and ask you for your passwords. We're not going to call you and ask you for your social security numbers, and which we've seen scams coming about
all the time.
So education.
How do you educate? Do you just do it, like, push it by from your new account specialist and your bankers in the branch, or are you, like, reaching out to your customers? How do you educate them?
Well, we do various ways. If you still get your bank statement in the mail, we do a statement stuffers. If you are someone who receives your bank statement electronically, We do add those physical statement stuffers. We add that to your online banking so that you're able to see that information. We are growing tremendously in the social media environment. Mm-hmm. We realize people don't always read newspapers, though we do still some advertise in our local newspapers around here. Like where I live, the newspaper comes out still just once a week. Mm-hmm. But one of our locations in Brenham, you know, it's almost a daily paper. I think they don't deliver on a Sunday. So social media, still a newspaper, depending on what it is that we're trying to educate you on, will be electronic delivery. Maybe we'll post something on our website, post things on our message board, on our mobile app. It's all the areas and avenues that we can try to get that information out to the customer. Now, whether or not you open it and read it, that's always a different story.
So very true. So really, really, I mean, you're talking about any physical contact you can have with individuals. So any mailer, you're putting information in there. Mm-hmm. And then social media, any kind of platform, just really, you're just broadcasting the information and say, please hear us. and hoping yes. that people pay attention. Yeah.
And still people, you know, the old fashioned way to communicate is still by word of mouth. You still have people coming in and saying, well, my neighbor told me about this. Mm-hmm. Or my grandson said, hey, you know, grandma, you need to start paying your bills online. Or children come in who are taking care of their aging parents and trying to explain to them, mom or dad, it's so much easier if we can do these things electronically. And then you still have to give them that sense of I trust or a sense of security that everything's going to be okay. If you see something out of the ordinary, you know, call your bank and let us know. So word of mouth is, hey, it's still one of the best ways to communicate, and it's cheaper that way too.
Well, especially for a community bank as well, right? Because I mean, I'm sure you have so many generational accounts where you have grandma and mom and dad and kid, and it just kind of builds upon it and everything. So I'm sure that's an excellent way to get the word out to the community.
Yes.
So then let me transition a little bit, because I know you've done a lot when it comes to developing departments and really building something kind of from the ground up. But as I understand it, you've recently transitioned into a new role as a training and development specialist. Is that correct?
That is correct. And I thoroughly, thoroughly love it.
How long have you been doing that role for now?
I just transitioned and took my new office in March of this year. So a little over 6 months.
Perfect. So just long enough to get your feet under you, right?
Exactly.
So then let me ask, when you were being trained for that role, I mean, obviously you've worked with the bank kind of from the entry level position on up. So, I mean, you've seen all the different facets. So you're not having to learn necessarily about the products and specific elements about the culture. How were you trained or prepared for that role? Or was it more of a, hey, congratulations, figure it out kind of job?
Part of my past training, being in the new accounts environment and also being a teller, was two of the biggest things that I thought was a plus for me to want to transition to where I was to being in the training role. So it is a little bit different than, say, the very first time I opened up a checking account. Do you remember what a typewriter is called? Yes. We used a typewriter, and we had specific bank product that you would type all of that information on to create someone's signature mm-hmm. card. There was no platforms. There was no, computer-based programs that basically knew all of the boxes to check. You just had to fill in the details. So, yeah, we did everything from scratch. So, yes, you really needed to know your product. You needed to know how, not so necessarily how to sell it, but the details behind it. If a customer comes and asks you, I'm not sure what kind of account I need, can you give me some advice? And in addition to, well, now that you've got the account open, let's say it's a single party, what happens if something terrible happens to you? You can't write a check, or, you know, you pass away. Mm-hmm. So then you have to give them advice on, well, let's take care of your account when you're not even here. So from learning that in the beginning to where we are now, we do have a platform base, which simply means you log into a software. You're clicking on these boxes. It's a single party checking account with a pay on death beneficiary, and it's a non-interest bearing. Once the platform has all of that, now all it's asking you is the details. Well, who are we opening this account for? And let's identify them. So that information has definitely changed from the first time I started. But taking on the training role, so having that background of information already pretty much in the back of my mind, I'm just now going to what we would call our seasoned staff who's been doing that particular role and sitting down with them and learning the, you know, the specifics, you know, how we operate on those platforms now. By the time I decided to leave out of the new accounts position and I took on a different role inside the banking, I came back to the new accounts when we had a void, someone left and we didn't have anybody to train. When I left opening new accounts, we were already using the platform, but that's been so many years, you know, back then till now. So the training about being a teller, well, that's come from sitting down with the CEO. Yep.
So then let me ask you really quick then, your position, did you take over for someone else who left the bank, or are you creating this position?
No, I took over for someone who transferred out to another area. So the person who was our trainer, she came to our bank as a former educator. Mm-hmm. And so she took on the training role for several years, I'm going to say 3 or 4 years. And there was another opportunity inside the banking for a marketing department. And she was excited about that. So we do that a lot in community banks.
You don't want to
learn? Yeah, let's shuffle around and learn something new. So, yep.
Well, then let me ask you then, is there anything that you do that is unique to training others? Or would you say it's just kind of a general training program that you've seen be fairly consistent across the industry?
For right now, until we develop it a little bit more, it's a standard. Let's sit down. We're one-on-one.
Okay.
We have training videos to assist you, but then we also have lots of hands-on. I always tell my new hires, I am more of a hands-on, put it in front of me, let me touch it, feel it, and then I can understand it more than just watching a video or just reading a manual.
Right.
So we're at that stage right now. We believe in being one-on-one with someone.
So where do you want to go? So, I mean, is that where you want to stay? You want to stay at the one-on-one, or do you see yourself progressing, maybe adding in some more of different electronic platforms? How do you see yourself changing?
I think our bank takes on the fact that we like to do one-on-one, hands-on. I have had from the time I took on this role to where I am now, at one point I was actually training two people at the same time, though they were going to go in different areas. So we still did the one-on-one, but I worked with the first person who just needed to learn our system. They weren't going to be a teller or a new accounts. They just needed to learn the system. And then once we were finished with that person, then we brought in the person who was hired to be a teller. And then we spent more one-on-one. Even after you leave out of my training program, you still have to be shadowed with a seasoned teller, and that's still one-on-one.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that's where a lot of you learn the elements before, but you don't really figure out how to apply it until you're actually like helping to process transactions and everything like that. I totally understand. Then I've always wanted to ask, if you have an individual that's underperforming, be it a bad hire, I mean, we're hesitant to say things like bad hire, but be it a bad hire or anywhere down the lines of maybe they're just not understanding the system or understanding the whys or the hows behind it, what do you do? Or do you just say that's it and nix the relationship, or do you like what do you do with those individuals?
If so far, which it hasn't happened yet from the time that I remember, you know, people coming into the training role.
Yeah.
But if we have encountered someone from the past, we hear the feedback from either a coworker or from their supervisor. Then we take them off to the side and see what is it that maybe you didn't understand what we were talking about in training, as you can perform the paperwork, but the ins and outs behind it, maybe you were just missing something. So we listen to the feedback from whoever is doing the reporting, sit back down with that person and figure out, okay, what is it that you're missing? And they may be bold enough to say, I don't think banking is for me, and they want to move on. We've actually had a young man, and he's a very bright young man, came out of college. He was ready to paint this town red and change the world, and came into banking, went into the note department, and realized this is not what I thought banking was.
Not my cup of tea.
That's right. And he decided to end the career choice. Now he's moved on to working at a wonderful institution we probably have all heard of, which is Texas A&M University.
Oh, so, very good. So yes. I'm sure stories like that are common throughout the industry. Yes. Like inevitably, you're always going to have the individual that just doesn't fit. So really what I'm understanding that if I had to kind of give an overview of Citizen States Bank's training program, it's going to be emphasized on one-on-one training, be it either when you're first starting or when you have to go back and not necessarily corrective action, but like if someone didn't fully grasp the training elements, there's still that element of one-on-one that carries through.
That's correct.
Is that fair?
Yes, that is very fair.
Perfect. Well, I love that. I think one-on-one training is phenomenal, especially if you can do it as structure permits. Because I mean, there's so many different banks that it's impractical to do one-on-one training. So the fact that you guys are able to nail that down, I think that's phenomenal. So we are running out of time, Fran. I know it's kind of flown by a little bit, but I did want to ask one last question of you before you go. And this is one that I ask all of my guests that join the show. If you could give one piece of advice to the banks listening in today, to the employees listening today, what piece of advice would you give?
I would say if the younger generation is coming into your environment, make sure pay is what they're looking for, because they may not stay if the pay isn't there. But you do have some who are looking for ways to move about inside the institution, which if you're wanting to keep an employee, have that opportunity that they can grow and move to different locations if the opportunity sees fit. But everybody is looking for what the pay is. And we have great people who have been here 30 and 40 years who didn't care about pay back then. Mm-hmm. So it is a different environment. Pay is probably the first one.
I like that. That's actually the first time we've gotten that answer. And I appreciate the fact of pay and the pathway of promotion. I think that those are definitely key in today's environment. Well, Fran, thank you very much for joining us for today's episode. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
I look forward to many more, Daniel.
Perfect. For the rest of you listening in, that's Banking Matters.